Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, we're packed on a Tuesday, live in L.A. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, The Herd hierarchy. We know who's good and who's not. Feel very good about this week's Herd hierarchy. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I feel good, too. I've loved the Saints all year.
Here we go.
Pretty good night last night.
They clobbered the Colts, of course, and Drew Brees sets the all-time touchdown record. I'm going to ask you a little trivia question here. Name the one NFL quarterback that was the number one high school quarterback, and then he went to college, he won a bunch of games, had no critics at a power school, and he went number one in the NFL draft, that it was perfect. There were very few speed bumps, a lot of support, not a lot of critics. High school great, college great, number one NFL pick. I mean, it was smooth sailing. Matt Stafford is it. His career now, close to the 18th hole. Not a lot of big wins. Is it because Matt Stafford lacked talent? No. Or perhaps it was because Matt Stafford never has that mettle, that intensity needed after being told, no, you're too short, you're too this, and you're too that. Folks, Drew Brees is what Hall of Fame quarterbacks, that's where they come from. Too small. Second round pick. One of the great Texas high school quarterbacks. Nobody offered him a scholarship. Had to go to cold weather Purdue. His first NFL team, the Chargers, chose Phillip Rivers. Miami, he wanted to go there. Nah, we don't like your shoulder. He goes to New Orleans. A losing franchise with a bad front office. He gets a coach nobody's heard of. Some young kid with a lot of energy. Then there's Katrina, a natural disaster, moves the team out of the city, and he's the all-time leader in touchdowns. 5'11 and a half, maybe 6 foot tall, Drew Brees. Yeah. The NFL media and the media in general acts like overly protective mothers for our quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson dropped in the first round. They asked him to work out at wide receiver. I know, it's great, right? That's exactly the formula for legends. You know, we like you at quarterback, but try out at wide receiver. But I was great in college. You know, go over there and try out at wide receiver. No, I mean, I set records at Louisville. Y'all freak out because Lamar Jackson didn't get drafted in the top 10. He had to go all the way to the bottom of the first round. And somebody had the audacity to ask him to maybe want to try out at quarterback and receiver. Now, that's exactly the kind of jet fuel and roadblock and doubters and critics that creates legends. Only one quarterback in this league, one that most of us think is underachieved and not lived up to it, was a high school number one and a college number one and an NFL number one. Cam Newton had a transfer. The last two number one picks, Kyler and Baker, had the transfer. Russell Wilson had to transfer. Aaron Rodgers had to go to a junior college. Carson Wentz went to, I don't know, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, some Dakota State. Patrick Mahomes, 30th best Texas quarterback. You know who offered him a scholarship? Rice and Texas Tech. The whole league is a series of, you'll never make it, you're too short. I told my wife last night, it's like America. If you looked at Bill Clinton's resume, you're like, that he can't. My mom grew up in England. She's like, you're born into it. You're a royal family. We don't have a royal family. You got to overcome. Ronald Reagan's the most popular president of my lifetime. He was an actor who moved to a governor who people made fun of. I mean, this is exactly Drew Brees. The NBA has Jerry West as a logo. Drew Brees should be the NFL logo. I mean, he is the NFL. Too short, big injuries, overcome. Chargers are like, no, we like Phillip Rivers. But I was at Purdue. Now get out of here. He goes to Miami. Now we don't like your shoulder. Then he goes to New Orleans. Then the natural disaster. He's had to overcome his whole life. and he leads the NFL all time in touchdown passes. Are you kidding me? This is why I love the NFL. It's you have to grind. We're always overly protecting. Josh Allen played in California in high school. Nobody liked him. He had to go to Wyoming and play in the mountains. That's what defines the league. Breeze defines it. Right now, the three best quarterbacks in the NFC, Aaron Rodgers, junior college, Drew Brees, first team bailed on him, and Russell Wilson. Even the team that drafted him passed on him twice when the only thing they had at quarterback was Matt Flynn. Here's the record by Brees and his thoughts afterwards.
First and goal from the 5, fakes the handoff, looks to throw, wide open, touchdown, Josh Hill. 19 years, 273 games, over 76,000 yards, and now 540 touchdowns. Drew Brees, take a bow.
Listen, it was special. Everything about the night, you know. I don't know how they pick. I don't know how they pick them, right? Monday Night Football, playing the Colts, right? The team that, you know, we won the Super Bowl against 10 years ago. So the whole Super Bowl 44 team is back for the 10th anniversary, and obviously national television, you know, big game, and now, you know, that record in the balance as well, and just kind of makes you shake your head.
It shouldn't. You are what Hall of Fame quarterbacks look like. Not quite tall enough, not quite the arm, overlooked, not a number one pick, had to transfer. Congrats. For the record, years ago, I was at the place I used to work. They had a gym on campus, and I've told this story a couple times. So it was like June, and Drew Brees showed up to the other place. He was going to be on a bunch of shows. Can't do it during the season. And I walk into the gym, just to, you know, daily workout, and I look over and I'm like, that looks like Drew Brees. And he's got a hat on. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm just in between shows. He's like, I got to work out. I'm like, you've been on 4 shows. He goes, I know. I got 45 minutes. I want to work out. He's drenched in sweat. He's doing these arm, shoulder, pull-up things. And I'm sitting to myself, the guy's dripping sweat because he has 45 minutes in between shows. Just got to get a workout in. Why? Because they told him he was too short. That never, ever leaves you, the fear of being replaced. All right, let's shift gears to this. Even by Cleveland Brown standards, this is a tire fire. According to Mike Silver, NFL Network reporter, multiple Brown players said to Arizona players, come get me, including Jarvis Landry. Have you noticed over the last 4 to 5 weeks with Cleveland, there's been a lot of noise? Who hasn't said a word? The outspoken, verbose general manager, John Dorsey, has not said a word. The helmet mess, remember the helmet thing? Didn't say a word. OBJ rumors, didn't say a word. Baker Mayfield ripped the medical staff, didn't say a word. The Kitchens t-shirt debacle, didn't say a word. The sideline argument this weekend has not said a word. Freddie Kitchens, I don't care about my job, has not said a word. Not a peep. He's not only not throwing Freddie Kitchens a life preserver, he's at the edge of the boat watching him drown and smiling. This is, of course, why I do not believe Freddie Kitchens will retain his job. This is called job preservation by a general manager, because he has to go to the owner, Jimmy Haslam, and he can't go and say, I whiffed on Baker Mayfield. We don't have a quarterback. Not a lot of those out there. He can't go to his owner and say, hey, OBJ thing, I completely whiffed because they gave up too much for him. But he can go to his owner and say, listen, wasn't a ton of candidates out there. Baker went to us and said, I like Freddie Kitchens. They had a great relationship. I rolled the dice. I missed on that. I just missed on the coach. Just let me go get Mike McCarthy and we're all good here. This is a team that has made nothing but noise for the last 6 weeks and not a peep from the outspoken general manager. I got nothing against John Dorsey, but I do know self-preservation is a real thing. You get 2 chances in this league to be a GM. You whiff on the second, you're done making seven figures. You just become like a regional scout, a consultant, maybe a TV guy. Maybe he'd be a great TV guy. But it is interesting to me in this ongoing tire fire, and it is, we have had seven or eight opportunities for a general manager to jump in and support his quarterback and support Freddie Kitchens and support the player. Not a peep. By the way, Freddie Kitchens, who said, I don't care about my job, clarified it because he can feel the heat. Freddie Kitchens clarified that yesterday.
I care about my job, all right? I only care, though, about getting better today. That's what I was trying to illustrate, is I'm only focused on today. Of course I want to be back. Dee and Jimmy Haslam and John Dorsey would much rather me be worried about getting our team to play better than worried about my job security.
I'll say it again, nothing against the reporter. I do not believe the report this weekend that Freddie Kitchens is safe and will be retained. The fact that John Dorsey, multiple opportunities, has not thrown him a life preserver as a rookie head coach signals to me he's a dead coach walking. That's what I feel like.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Tom Brady sent a very congratulatory tweet to Drew Brees last night. They're the last two old guys standing, right? And they have, you know, that last year I thought Drew looked really, really tired at the end. That hand injury gave him a respite. He looks absolutely fantastic. Brady, meanwhile, has had all the success in the postseason. He looks a little tired now. But if you ask me for the next 2 years, who's going to really flourish, it would be Brees over Brady. And here's why. Because the Saints do that thing called the draft really, really well, and New England doesn't. Here are the last four drafts for the New Orleans Saints. I count seven home runs. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams is a stud. Ryan Ramczyk's great. Marcus Davenport before his injury, very good. Eric McCoy at center has been a home run. I mean, it is just, they hit multiple home runs. Guys come in and immediately play at a Pro Bowl level. Your last four drafts for the New England Patriots, they don't do the draft very well. Joe Thuney's a nice guard, and Sony Michel has something going, and that's about it. Four drafts, that's it. They don't do the draft well. Blame who you want. Belichick's great on Sunday, and he really knows NFL players. But and also the last several years, the Saints have smartly asked Drew Brees to do less. Last couple of years, his attempts have gone down. Do you know who was number one in attempts most of this year? Tom Brady. I think he's now right behind Jameis Winston. He's number two. The Saints have figured it out. The older any employee gets to retain his excellence, to extend his greatness, get him more help. Drew Brees can still be unbelievable, but asking him to do it for 17, 18, 19 weeks last year, he looked tired. So they have drafted exceptionally well. You watch New England, they don't look dynamic. You watch the Saints, they do. Why? It's called the draft. The Saints have gone back to back to back to back, grabbing home runs, immediate stars who get implemented into their culture and hit it out of the park. Wildly productive day one. New England, a lot of misses, a lot of mehs, a lot of backups, a lot of non-factors. By the way, both players, Brady and Brees, take pay cuts. But Tom looks around and goes, what am I getting for the pay cut? Brees can look around and go, yeah, I get it. I'm taking a pay cut, but I don't have to throw as much, and I'm throwing to really good people. Gronk was hurt, folks, 3 years ago. You saw retirement coming 3 years ago. New England's never addressed the tight end position seriously. Old guys, late round guys. I mean, if you ask me the next 2 years, I know Belichick's a genius, but at some point, New Orleans has got the draft thing down. They figured it out with Brees. They're asking less, surrounding him with more.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Houston Texans. Are they wildly inconsistent? Yes. But are they good? Yes, they're good. They have not lost back-to-back games all season. Third down percentage, one of the best teams in the league. Rushing offense, total offense, top seven in the NFL. Deshaun Watson and Steve Young are the only players in NFL history, multiple seasons of 25-plus touchdown passes and 5-plus rushing touchdowns. They're just dynamic enough to go somewhere and beat a Kansas City or beat a New England. Wildly inconsistent. You bet they are. But they're also good at their best.
Number 9.
I think the Buffalo Bills have the best defense in the NFL. They have the second-best scoring defense, and they also... opposing quarterbacks have the second lowest passer ratings. And again, just got enough with Josh Allen's arm to just make things interesting. Now, there are ceilings to almost every team not named Baltimore and San Francisco in the NFL, but I think they've earned their spot. Listen, they've won 4 or 5 games. Their only loss is to the Ravens, and they were very competitive in that game. So it's time to give the Bills and the Bills Mafia some credit. Number 9.
Number 8.
Green Bay, I can't really wrap my arms around them. They're kind of a finesse team that's very good on script. Don't adjust terribly well. Last 18 quarters for Aaron Rodgers, not the first quarter, he completes less than 60% of his throws, and in 18 quarters have 4 touchdown passes. They don't adjust terribly well, and they beat Chicago, but they've won 7 of the last 8 games against Chicago, so, you know, it's the Trubisky factor to some degree. Aaron's good this year, but he's not special Aaron. 63% completion percentage. They're bottom third in the NFL in second half scoring. His passer rating is 100. I see a lot of good. Aaron's good. He's not what he was. I don't trust this team. You know, they're going to play at Lambeau. That helps. But I could see a lot of teams going in there and shutting them out, shutting them down.
Number 7.
New England, because I like their coach and I think coaching matters at this time of the year. But they've become incredibly dependent on Tom Brady at 42 taking below average offensive personnel and saving them. Julian Edelman, according to various reports, is physically falling apart. They don't have an A back. They haven't addressed the tight end position. Now, they lead the league in plus 19 turnover differential. So they're going to take the ball away from you, and they're not going to give it back to you. And they've got a great quarterback in crisis. But I think this team has a total offensive ceiling. They've been resorting to trick plays and block punts to win. And I don't think that's getting past Kansas City. And I don't think that's getting past Baltimore Patriots at 7.
Number 6.
Minnesota. Love their roster. And they're 6-0 at home this year for the first time since 2009. But here's my problem. You're not going to be playing at home in the playoffs. That's a concern for me. Now, again, very good roster. Mike Zimmer may be the most underrated coach in the league. They're 4th in takeaways. They play fast. They play aggressive. But again, they can beat anybody at home. I'm not sure I trust this team in a big spot on the road, and that's likely where they'll play in the playoffs.
Number 5.
San Francisco. Here's an interesting stat, and I think it's a very, very important stat. Coaching matters. We know that in the playoffs. San Francisco leads the NFL in third quarter scoring. That is a big deal. They adjust exceptionally well. So that's a big deal now in this league. They're the opposite of Green Bay, where Green Bay, you know what they give you for about 10 minutes, and that's the ceiling. San Francisco comes in going full bore with that defensive front and Jimmy G, and then at half, they give you another new wave of energy and new looks. I think that's very important. And they're the only team, they're the second highest scoring team in the NFL, 30 a game. So you're in for a fireworks show. Bring your tarp when you play San Francisco.
Number 4.
Kansas City. I think they'd have an easier path than San Francisco. Only team the last 2 years not to lose a game by more than 7 points. I think they're more special than San Francisco at quarterback, and I think Andy Reid and Mahomes is going to be a tough out. They're getting healthy, where San Francisco, who I've liked all year, is all banged up on defense. So a lot of this league is about attrition. Where is your health? For the record, Baltimore, healthiest team in the league. So Kansas City, Mahomes now playing very well. They don't lose. They're in every game. I thought the snow win this week was very impressive. The windbreaker team put a winter coat on and looked great.
Number three.
Seattle. A lot of this is Russell Wilson. They are also, like Minnesota, going to probably play on the road in the playoffs. The difference is I trust Seattle on the road. They're great on the road. They're great in any time zone because of Russell Wilson. Now, are they too Russell Wilson dependent? Yes, and that's why I don't have them winning the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the fact that they are third in rush offense and third in passing percentage and fourth in total offense with an offensive line and a receiving core and tight end group that's below average, that is all Russell Wilson. But I got a Hall of Fame head coach. They travel well. They can't eat the clock with that run game. When they're healthy in the backfield, they can eat some clock and take the ball away from a Jimmy G, an Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. So they could go to the Superdome and win. They could go to San Francisco and win or Green Bay. That I don't doubt, number three.
Number two.
The Saints. I get all the dynamic, explosive athleticism, and they don't make any mistakes. Second fewest sacks in the NFL. The fewest giveaways, eight in the NFL. I love teams that give me all the fireworks show and all the explosiveness and the dynamic athletes and don't make any mistakes. That's what Baltimore is giving you. So that's what I get with the Saints. They protect the ball. You don't get to Breeze. They're fourth in sacks. So their line play is unbelievable. Now, they don't throw the ball over the top much. And that's why I have them at number two.
Number one.
Baltimore, which is New Orleans. They don't make any mistakes. They get all the great athletes, but they have a little more explosiveness over the top. And again, it's nice to get an occasional freebie in this league. You can't be 13-play drive team. You need a freebie. And with Lamar Jackson's legs and their receivers, they're going to give you, you're going to get a freebie touchdown with them that you don't put on paper. And as a defensive coach, there's nothing you can do about it. 21 straight games with 20-plus points. It's hard in this league. You have bad Sundays. There's weather. They remind me of Carolina in 2015. The league is playing catch-up. They're unique at quarterback. Watch out. I have the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Kansas City, their only realistic shot to knock them out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Troy Aikman has a ton of faith in the Dallas Cowboys. He was saying this over the weekend about the Cowboys after they beat the Rams.
People might laugh at this if they're critics of the Cowboys, but they're capable of playing like they did yesterday, and that is a good Rams team. And I don't think there's a team in the NFC that wants to face the Cowboys if they're playing as well as they're capable of playing. There's very few teams in this league that are really good on both sides of the ball, or at least capable of being great on both sides of the ball, and this is one of those teams. If Dallas gets in, they're capable, if they hit it at the right time, doing some damage.
That's the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, I'm told. So here's my thing about Dallas. Ask yourself this. If I said to you, you know, to put the pom-poms down, who are the six or seven teams that should be favored to win the Super Bowl? Most of us would say Saints, San Francisco, Baltimore, New England, Kansas City, Seattle. What do they all have? A-plus coaching. Folks, 5 days ago, you wanted Urban Meyer to replace Jason Garrett. So 5 days ago, you didn't even want your coach around the facility. And now because they beat the Rams at home with extra rest, I'm supposed to like them. They don't have any wins over a playoff team. They're not going to have a single win over a playoff team. Because if they beat Philly, Philly doesn't make the playoffs. The Cleveland Browns have two wins over playoff teams. And if the Steelers make it in, they'll have three wins over playoff teams. Dallas has none. Rams are okay, but they're kind of a hot mess right now in the offensive line and the running back situation. They're walking on eggshells in the building and out of the building. So nothing's changed for me. If you asked all these NFC wildcard teams like a Seattle, a San Francisco potentially, where they'd want to play, they don't want to go to Lambeau with Rodgers and they don't want to go to the Superdome with Breeze. I think they'd all choose Garrett, Cowboys, Dak. All of them would. So I don't think they're scary. I think they're talented, but I don't think they're, I think most teams would take Dallas in that. Also remember this, Dallas has not been a great home team with Jerry's new stadium. Goulet, you watch every second. They're okay. That is not an intimidating road presence in Dallas. It's an art gallery with a football field. I mean, you got the big screen, you got the art galleries, it's got all this new technology. Nobody wants to go to Lambeau in January. Nobody wants to go to the Superdome. Nobody wants anything to do with that stuff. Dallas, I'd go there. Feel pretty good about it.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. Brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. You like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk football, football, and then a little more football. Coming up on this show, Drew Brees cementing himself as one of the truly greats of all time. Cowboys, Eagles, AFC playoff picture, the 49ers in Seattle. We got a lot going on. Again, John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe.
12 years all with the Saints. Super Bowl champ, the emotional farewell about a year ago as he retired a couple of years ago. Zach Strief, former Saints offensive lineman via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network. I'm going to tell you an amazing story about him in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. So you came in, Zach. You came into the Saints same year as Drew Brees. You're a Northwestern kid. He'd been a Big Ten guy that went to the Chargers and the injuries. When did you know? Oh, Lord, he's special.
It wasn't early, I'll tell you that. I remember walking out to training camp, the first practice in Jackson, Mississippi, and he was still recovering, and he couldn't throw past about 15 yards. So it took a little while. I would say it was probably halfway through that season where we started seeing him make plays that were incredible and putting balls in windows that shouldn't exist. So it took a little while. It was a different impression early on with Drew.
His leadership style, highly energetic. Does he occasionally, even though you loved him, Zach, does he bark occasionally? Does he get after guys?
It takes a lot. And I would say it's usually, I can't remember him doing it to an offensive lineman. But he'll get after a receiver that's not running the right route. He'll get after a defense. In practice, a scout defense that's not running the look right, guys that are kind of freelancing in a defense. But it's pretty rare. It takes a lot to really get him worked up to that point. It's not really his style to go after somebody. He's really more of a positive mindset guy, and it's reflected in the way that he leads.
He missed 5 games this year due to an injury. I said last year I thought he looked tired. He doesn't this year. Did it benefit him, frankly, getting hurt?
It's possible, right? I mean, it wouldn't be crazy to say that having that time off and kind of resetting the batteries a little bit on his shoulder has helped him. I mean, he's 40 years old, right? So what he's doing is amazing, and yet, there is going to be physical limitations in there somewhere. So we talked about it when it was going on, saying, man, this might end up being a blessing in disguise. Certainly a blessing in disguise when you see Teddy Bridgewater go out and win 5 games. Just to take a little bit of work off of his arm. And, I certainly didn't look – it did not look like he was tired last night.
You got drafted in the 7th round and had a great career. The Saints have hit 7 to 8 home runs in the draft over the last 3 or 4 drafts. They have a tremendous eye for personnel. Beyond Brees and beyond the Superdome and the crowd – when you're being part of that organization, did you always feel like, man, I'm lucky to work here?
Yeah, from very early on. And it's interesting. And we had our Super Bowl reunion party this past weekend. And Mickey Loomis said this, in 2006, this was a place nobody wanted to come. Nobody wanted to be in New Orleans. This was like a last resort for people. And now it's a destination that guys want to be at. And the organization is first class. It is first class in every single way, the facilities, the way they treat their people, the way they treat you even after you're gone. It really is a special group. And I think more than anything, there's just been so much consistency in the building, with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, Mrs. Benson, from the top down. There's been consistency, and it's kind of a family atmosphere, and they take great care of their people.
How much does Drew have left in the tank, in your opinion, Zach?
I gave up guessing about 3 years ago. I've been wrong now, 3 times. I mean, you look at a game last night and you say, I don't know, 6 years? I mean, it doesn't even look close, and he takes such good care of his body. He's always been meticulous with how he takes care of himself, and with the way that the offense has kind of, changed over time to fit, what he's still good at and take away some of the things maybe he's not great at anymore. I think he could keep playing for a few years. I think you know, I would say 2 or 3 years, but I've been saying 2 or 3 years for 2 or 3 years. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay, I want you to listen to something very closely, folks. Here is the record-setting play-by-play. Just listen to this.
First and goal from the 5, fakes the handoff, looks to throw, wide open, touchdown, Josh Hill. 19 years, 273 games, over 76,000 yards, and now 540 touchdowns. Drew Brees, take a bow.
That's the voice of Zach Strief. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Saints. I didn't believe that. Nobody knows that outside of New Orleans. You did not You did not major in broadcasting, and now you're stealing jobs from schmucks like me. How did this happen?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird deal. You know, I took some interviews with some local media people just to find out what was available when I retired in 2017. And I was meeting with Entercom or WWL, the local Saints affiliate, and you know they're the ones that make that hire. And they said, you know, in this industry, it's so much about, you know, what's available, and the only thing that's available right now is play-by-play. Jim Henderson, a longtime Saints voice of the Saints, had retired, and they said, but you know, that's not a player job. You know, it's a broadcasting role. And I said, I get it. And I walked out of the office. By the time I got to my car, I said, that's it. I mean, that's the job. If you could have any job in the media in the world, and you're a former player, man, what better than getting to be the voice of the team that you played for? So I went back. I said, hey, I want to be the voice of the Saints. And they giggled. I literally got an audible laugh out of the office. and I said, listen, give me some time. Let me try to put an audition tape together. And, you know, I think my relationships in the city and with the organization certainly helped me in that. But yeah, they gave me the opportunity, and I'm in the second year with a former teammate, Deuce McAllister.
Good God, that's incredible. What a story you are. Seventh rounder, Northwest. You know, I said this, Drew Brees should be the NFL logo because all these quarterbacks in the league were overlooked. Aaron Rodgers, junior college, Patrick Mahomes. Nobody wanted him except Rice and Texas Tech. That is the NFL. Your story is the NFL. Half the league is undrafted. You're a remarkable guy. I'd love to have you on again. Good luck to you and the Saints, and thanks for stealing all of our jobs. I really appreciate that, Zach.
Anytime, Colin. Thanks for having me, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, Troy Aikman said yesterday that nobody wants to face the Dallas Cowboys. Scary good if they get to the playoffs. So here is Troy Aikman talking about that.
People might laugh at this if they're critics of the Cowboys, but they're capable of playing like they did yesterday, and that is a good Rams team. And I don't think there's a team in the NFC that wants to face the Cowboys if they're playing as well as they're capable of playing. There's very few teams in this league that are really good on both sides of the ball, or at least capable of being great on both sides of the ball, and this is one of those teams. If Dallas gets in, they're capable, if they hit it at the right time, doing some damage.
So we'll talk about that. For this year going forward, is the window wide open, partially open with concerns, or it's closed based on what we've seen? Here we go, Joy.
All right, the Dallas Cowboys.
I believe the Dallas Cowboys window is closed despite what we saw with the game against the LA Rams. They're 0-5 versus teams currently in the playoffs. They don't have a history delivering in this spot. They have not. They only have 3 playoff wins since the 90s, the mid-90s. This is a team defensively that outside of Jared Goff has made every single quarterback they've faced this year comfortable, including Sam Darnold, Jeff Driskel. It's closed.
All right, Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles window is closed. -6 turnover differential. So they don't take it away from you, and they give it up. This is a sloppy team that has no deep threat, injuries everywhere, and even with some great defensive line personnel, you get a lot of touchdowns, not field goals. They're only 24th in red zone defense. So too many mistakes, not enough dynamic perimeter players. Eagles window's closed.
All right, you're not very high on this team, the Green Bay Packers.
Well, I would say the Packers window is halfway open because they're very good getting leads in the NFL. Remember, about 60% of the teams in the NFL that take a lead in a game win. playoff games too. Scoring first matters, playing from ahead matters. And they only have 9 turnovers all season. So this is a team that does. They don't give you any freebies. Their defense can get pushed around, but keeps them in games. And again, great off the script. I have huge issues about their ability to adjust at half, but their window's half open.
How about the Minnesota Vikings?
I'm going to say similarly, I like their roster better than Green Bay, but the window is only halfway open. They're very good at home this year, but they're probably going to play road playoff games. Kirk Cousins, 0-1 in the playoffs. Never seen him have a playoff run. They're 1-3 currently against playoff teams. And again, they'll play on the road in the playoffs. It's open because of the depth of the roster, but partially open.
Drew Brees' New Orleans Saints?
This is wide open. This is as open as any window. I was wrong. They do everything right. They don't let you get to their quarterback, but they get to yours. They don't turn it over. They're dynamic. Now, they don't have a deep threat, so they're not going to get a lot of freebie touchdowns. They're not somebody that can overcome their defense failing them. That's why they lost at home to San Francisco. But they should be among the Super Bowl favorites.
What about the Niners?
With the Niners, even though they beat the Saints, I would say it's halfway open because they play in a much tougher division, meaning they could end up as low as a 6 seed, and I just don't trust anybody to go on the road 3 or 4 times. I just think it's really, especially in the NFC right now, when you'd have to go to Lambeau, you'd have to go to the Superdome. Remember, they're only 3-3 after an 8-0 start, and their 3 losses have been last-second losses, so situationally, they've not been great. I do love this about it. Best team in the league in the third quarter. Excellent at adjusting. That'll win them a playoff game.
How about the Seahawks?
See, now I think it's all the way open. I've got an MVP at quarterback. I've got a Super Bowl winning coach. And they have proven time and time again, unlike San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo, they've proven they're great on the road. Road is not a problem for Seattle. I don't know if San Francisco can go on the road. I mean, they lost to Baltimore, they beat New Orleans, but playoffs are different. They've won 6 of their last 7 games. This team has proven time and time again. They also upgraded during the season, Quadri Diggs safety, Jadeveon Clowney on the defense. So this, to me, I said before, I think their window is more open than San Francisco, and after this weekend, I even feel more strongly about that.
The New England Patriots?
I think it's closed. They're 0-3 against division leaders in the AFC. They couldn't beat the Texans, they couldn't beat the Ravens, and they couldn't beat the Chiefs. Julian Edelman's their go-to offensive weapon, and he's all banged up. They've scored 22 points or less in 5 of their last 6 games, so it's not getting better. They're not getting healthier. They didn't address the tight end position last 2 drafts. There's a price to pay for that. And again, after an 8-0 start, they're a 3-3 football team with an offense that is regressing.
How about the Baltimore Ravens?
Easy one, open. Everything goes their way. No injuries. Their running quarterback, Lamar Jackson, leads the NFL with 33 passing touchdowns. So even their perceived weaknesses are strengths. I got a Super Bowl winning coach. I've always believed you can't win a World Series with a bad bullpen. You cannot win a Super Bowl with a bad O-line. Offensive line's got a couple of Pro Bowlers, maybe the best run-blocking left tackle in football. Everything's wide open here.
The Chiefs?
I'll say theirs is wide open. And then I'm going to go wide open again. A couple of things to remember. 5-1 on the road this year. That's a big deal to me. Seattle's a good road team. Kansas City's 5-1 on the road. They've shown last week they can play brilliant football in crappy weather. Since the bye week, number one scoring defense in the NFL since the bye week. So their secondary's gotten significantly better. They are 2-0 against Lamar Jackson. They've seen him, they've beaten him, and they know how to beat him. So Cowboys closed, Eagles closed, Packers, Vikings halfway open, Saints open, Seahawks open, Niners halfway open, Patriots closed, Ravens, Chiefs wide open.